listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, Taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, and unfortunately, we have not been able to connect with Doug Casey. That's a disappointment for sure. Doug Casey is certainly one of the, you know, one of the more entertaining hard money people, a libertarian, a person who really knows the gold markets very well, inside and out, especially the speculative markets. And he's just written a book, a novel called Speculator, which Dr. Ron Paul has called a thrilling tale of international intrigue. And it's a very interesting book. I've started reading it, and I would recommend that you take a look at it and perhaps pick up a copy of it. If we get Doug on here yet, I hope we do, but we may not. I'm expecting it's probably a misunderstanding in terms of the timing. But in any event, the book is really about the junior gold markets, the markets that I look at personally, the ones that I write about in my newsletter. So it's something that I would suggest you take a look at. Just some of the comments here. I see Al Corlin has commented on it. Brent Cook has commented on it. Adrian Day, a number of people I know have commented on this book. And just to give you an idea of some of the chapters that are in the book, the first chapter, A Resolution Almost Unresolved, A Logical Geological Theory, Secrets in Secret Societies, A Foolish Fantasy, and a garbanja reality, small, A Rumble and Race, After Action Assessment, The Floating Hospital, Sabina, now of the IRS. Anyway, it goes on, many really interesting chapters, and if you know Doug Casey, you know he's always entertaining. Well, we don't have Doug here, so I'm flying solo. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about junior gold stocks and some of the companies that I cover in my newsletter. Last week, I talked about several companies that I think have really great potential. I reviewed Barkerville Gold Mines. Barkerville Gold Mines is a company in British Columbia. It has a very sizable target in British Columbia, known as the Cariboo Gold Project. It's been a lot of past producing mines there. In fact, it's a massive property, some 60 kilometers long along the Cariboo Trend, but it was never really explored professionally. Now, recently, in fact, the company had some issues with the past management, in which it wasn't really reporting wasn't done properly, and the resource was overstated, and it was more of a, I would say, more of a paper play, even though it always has had very substantial exploration potential, gold potential. The potential, I believe, to host many millions of ounces. Of course, that takes a lot of time and money and exploration expertise. But this is a company that is owned. Eric Sprott holds 19% of Barkerville Gold. Osisko Mining owns 17%. Osisko Gold Royalty owns 16%, and management owns 7.8%. And the company is now, I think, doing everything that's necessary to start to pull this together professionally, and the stock is selling at around 45 cents. There are 326 million shares outstanding. That's a lot of shares. But on the other hand, given the size and potential of this project, I think it, and more importantly, the fact that there's some very serious money behind the company and very serious professional leadership and technical knowledge headed up by Chris Lauder, who has been a very successful mine developer in the past. So I think this is one that you'll really you might want to take a look at. And I wrote extensively about it in my last newsletter last weekend, Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks, which, by the way, you can subscribe to by going you can subscribe to my newsletter by going to miningstocks.com and signing up for it there. Barkerville then, after I wrote about it, they put out some more very good drill results. The headline number of 9.1 meters, grading 13.03 grams per ton. It's just really, I think, a story that is very much worth looking at further. Barkerville Gold Mines trades in the U.S. under the symbol BGMZF and in Canada under the symbol BGM. In terms of course, the companies that we just talked to, Klondike Gold, is one that from the other end of the spectrum in terms of market cap, we just, it's a very low market cap company. I think a company that has also has tremendous upside potential. As a matter of fact, in terms of in terms of the leverage, I would think you have greater upside potential at this point in time with Klondike. And Peter Talman, who we just spoke with, is certainly a very well regarded professional geologist, and he's had, as we noted, three discoveries to his credit already, I think there's a good chance he'll be on to the next major to another discovery there. Certainly has made a discovery. They haven't done enough work yet to outline a resource, but it looks like, especially with the dissemination around the quartz veins, that this is a company has a real shot at coming up with something very significant. And again, as he mentioned, just a very, very small portion of this gigantic district scale target in the Klondike. But Klondike, earlier on, before this orogenic model became recognized among geologists, the theory at the Klondike was that there was simply that all the gold, or most of it, must have already been eroded. And that's the placer gold that's been mined about 40 years later than 1896, I guess, is when they made the discovery. And the theories were, and a lot of geologists sort of suspected, that that was it, that the gold was basically eroded away. Well, Peter's demonstrated, his work has demonstrated, that's certainly not the case. And in fact, the orogenic model is one in which these relatively vertical quartz structures, or in this case, at least in this project, they're quartz structures that extend to great depths. But there's no need to spend a lot of money drilling and exploring at depth right now, because there's so much lateral potential for this target. So very interesting. And also one of the issues that I understand some people are concerned about with respect to the Klondike, the hard rock potential there, is a lack of continuity. Well, Peter was telling me that wherever you have quartz veins, there has been continuity, and now they're even more heartened by the discovery of disseminated gold outside of the high-grade quartz veins. So that means that potentially it could be a much larger scale, bulk mineable operation, especially given the fact that these structures come right up to the surface. So certainly Klondike is a story that is really very, very exciting from my perspective. We talked about, we really wanted to talk to Doug Casey. I guess we're just not going to make a connection with Doug today. He confirmed yesterday, not sure why, where the problem is. But I had a lot of questions for Doug I wanted to ask him. He talked in his article of the 1930s. He compared the 1930s to today, and Doug was really basically suggesting that whereas the generals at the Federal Reserve are basically fighting the last war of the 1930s, they are essentially printing money and believing they can deficit spend their way to prosperity. Well, it didn't work very well in the 1930s. Along came World War II, and some people tried to give credit to World War II. Certainly the Austrian economists don't believe that at all, that was the reason we came out of the Depression. In fact, the Austrians believe it was a substantial savings that took place during the war, and that was capital formation that was really the reason that that the economy did so well after that. But nonetheless, people don't want to give up on their ideas, the things they've spent their lives preaching and teaching about, and that is the Keynesian model is all they know, and so they're not willing to say that maybe we were wrong and maybe we should go in another direction and try something different. And so they continue to fight the last war, print more money. But Doug is suggesting, if you read his article in the International Man, Doug Casey's International Man, that in fact what we could be looking at now is something more like a hyperinflationary depression, if I'm reading him correctly. And unfortunately, Doug's not with us today to talk about that. So I mentioned Barkerville. Some of the other companies I talked about last week's newsletter, I talked about Colorado Resources. And this is a company that also, they're also in British Columbia and some pretty, in the Golden Triangle of British Columbia, which is a very rich area for gold mining. And they actually have picked up some ground now known as the Green Springs Project in Nevada. So one of the problems with a lot of the junior mining companies that are only operating in the north is that there's only a portion of the season in which they'll have any results or any news to report. And since these companies really live by news, they live by the news. When there's no news flow, the companies, sometimes their share prices can really suffer as a result of that. But as I say, Colorado Resources has picked up some ground in Nevada, in that Green Springs property, and I understand they will be doing some drilling very, very shortly as well. They also picked up some other ground recently as well, and so that is a company that's selling. It's very, very inexpensive stock. I think at around 16 cents or so. Let me just check my own portfolio here. Just one second. All right, so we're looking here at some very interesting companies. I think I'm trying to think here. So Arvista is one that I personally own that I'm very, 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 very keen on. Trades. It has a project in Quebec, an open pit, very, very massive target with some 3.5 million ounces outlined so far. What's really exciting about this is I'm understanding some very significant players are starting to buy this stock coming into the picture. It's one that I've liked for some time. It's up 2.5 cents today to 25, a little over 25 cents in U.S. dollars. Another one that I like an awful lot in the Golden Triangle is Ascot Resources. Somebody's compared that one to Pretium, the Pretium discovery. We shall see, but it's an old mining camp. It's previously operating gold mine. It has all the infrastructure that's required. Again, another one that I think is well worth looking at. Setting aside some of the gold shares, one of the things that I've done as a result of Michael Oliver's recent work, and that is Michael, as he's discussed on our show, has been very bullish on commodities in general, and the agricultural commodities he's in particular has been very positive about. Well, so I went out and bought a stock called, it's an ETF, COW, C-O-W, and COW really mirrors the live cattle futures, and that's an interesting play as well that I think, it makes some sense, at least based on Michael's work and the accuracy of his work. It's been very, very good. Now, DynaCert is, of course, they're sponsors to this show. And DynaCert, we should be hearing from them pretty soon. The CEO scheduled to come on the show in a couple of weeks, a few weeks from now, perhaps. But DynaCert is now selling its hydrogen units. And I understand the first 500 unit sales are in vision, and things seem to be going very, very well. There's a company that, the one that I think is very, very exciting is RN Resources, also a sponsor of this show. RN Resources, because they have all of the ingredients in place for success in terms of exploration and development. And they've had two very significant successes under their belt so far. So RN Resources, it's selling at $2.74 in U.S. money right now. They have no problem. I think it was Goldcorp just recently came in with a big chunk of change. They own a big portion of the company now. But RN has projects in British Columbia, in Nunavut, and they have three projects or so in Peru. All of them, I think, have world-class potential, and they will be drilling very aggressively, all of them, in the next number of weeks. And so RN Resources is certainly, it's my second largest holding after Novo Resources. Another one that you might want to take a good look at that's had some difficulties is Gold Source Mines. Gold Source Mines, again, it's a management situation that has me very, very confident in this company. Gold Source Mines is mining saprolite-hosted gold in Guyana, South America. They've had some difficulties. But they were more or less expected difficulties. The management of this company, the same management that started Silvercrest, which has been phenomenally successful. And the way they start out is with a very low budget, and they start out almost like they basically start on a very small scale, and they learn as they go, but without committing huge amounts of capital to carry out very expensive feasibility studies and all the other things that are required normally. And so they've had some very low recovery rates, but they in the process then learned why they have those low recovery rates and are in the process of fixing and addressing the needs that are to get their recovery rates up to where they expected. They didn't expect to have extremely high recovery rates to start with, but the cost of mining this saprolite material is so low that even recovery rates of 40 or 50% would have been good enough to start with. In due process, then, when they get the permits that are required, they will start a cyanide leaching process as well and get over 90% of the gold. And they'll run the tailings through the cyanide circuit ultimately. So it's sort of a different approach. Rather than throwing huge amounts of money and diluting shareholders from here to kingdom come, this is a management that starts out small, little by little builds up the success in the project. And the stock really took quite a hit after it had some very poor, less recoveries, lower recoveries than they anticipated. And so that was a time that I decided I wanted to buy this stock some more. It's Gold Source Mines. You can buy it in Canada or here. It's about 12 cents, 13 cents right now in U.S. money. And I expect that one should do extremely well as the company continues to move forward. Market's not understanding the policy, the process that they were working on. But nonetheless, I think they will do very well, I think. Well, those are just a few of the ideas. My engineer is telling me my time is up. Very sorry that Doug Casey couldn't be with us. Perhaps we can get him on another time. Next week, Peter Granich will be with me. Until then, goodbye and God's blessings to you.
Thank you again for listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor. Please join us again next Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Dynacert is a global leader in carbon emission reduction technologies. Created for use in diesel engines, the hydrogen unit has been proven to reduce carbon emissions by up to 40%, increase torque, improve engine oil quality, and provide up to 19% in fuel savings. Our leading-edge technology is designed for tractor trailers, rail, marine, and newly developed for diesel engine cars. Reducing the amount of greenhouse gases provides benefits to the environment, to communities and businesses, and to our shareholders.
Golden Predator Mining Corp., a well-financed gold exploration company operating in Canada's Yukon. Focused on advancing its Three Aces project, a high-grade gold project located in the southeast Yukon with gold and quartz outcrops at surface. Ongoing work includes trenching, roadwork, drilling, and bulk sampling. Golden Predator also holds the past-producing Brewery Creek project located near Dawson City, Yukon. Golden Predator, a company working closely with Yukon First Nations. Golden Predator trades on the Canadian Venture Market as GPY, and in the U.S. OTC market as NTGSF.
Chilean Metals is a Canadian junior exploration company focusing on high-potential copper, gold prospects in Chile and Canada. Chilean Metals' Zulima property is a Candelaria-like prospect, one of the largest mines in the world. The company has begun its drill program in Chile on its Zulima property and should be completed by the end of February. We also own a 3% royalty on future production on Teck Resources' Copaquiri property, potentially worth millions of dollars annually. This is the time to invest in Chilean Metals, a discovery story with a hedge. Traded TSX Venture under symbol CMX.